A Canadian court yesterday acquitted two men charged in connection with planting two bombs on Air India flights in 1985. One of the bombs exploded off the coast of Ireland, killing all 329 passengers on board. This was the worst episode of terrorism in the decades leading up to September 11th. The other bomb went off at Narita Airport in Japan, killing two baggage handlers. As Richard Reynolds reports from Toronto, this is likely the end of the line for the 20-year-old case.
The prosecution, or Crown Attorney as they are called in Canada, said that the two men were Sikh extremists. They were angry at the Indian government after Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi sent the army into the holiest Sikh shrine, the Golden Temple in Amritsar, the year before the bombings. Reputaman Singh Malik is a wealthy businessman living in Vancouver. He was accused of funding the plot. Ajaib Singh Bagri is a Sikh priest and sawmill worker known for his anti-Indian vitriol. He was accused of assisting the plotters. But after the most complicated criminal investigation Canada has ever seen, and a 19-month-long trial that cost over $100 million, the lead Crown Attorney, Jeffrey Gall, conceded defeat.
There are findings that the court made that indicate that crimes did occur. What the court was not satisfied with, and this is a finding of fact that the court is entitled to make, the court did not accept the key Crown witnesses.
Malik and Bagri were arrested in 2000, 15 years after the bombings. They've been held in custody since then and were visibly pleased by yesterday's decision. They quickly left the court, surrounded by supporters. Families of many of the victims, most of whom lived in Canada, were gathered at the courthouse. Dozens were lined up to express their sadness, often tearfully, at the verdicts. Sunil Gupta lost his mother on Air India Flight 182.
Two bombs got on board, two planes. 331 people were murdered. All innocently. Sadly, today, two people accused with much evidence against them walk free. That means justice was not served.
After 20 years, only one man has gone to jail for the bombing. Inderjit Singh Rayat, who was accused of helping make the bomb, pleaded guilty to manslaughter 5 years ago and received only 5 years in prison, but he was not required to testify as a part of his plea bargain. Rayat was initially arrested in 1985, along with Tawinder Singh Parmar. Parmar has been accused of being the mastermind behind the plot, but he was shot dead by Indian police in 1992. Many of the relatives demanded that the Canadian government establish a public inquiry to look at the case and find out why, after 20 years, only Rayat has gone to jail. The Attorney General has so far refused these calls. Lata Pada lost three family members in the bombing.
So much happened that predates the trial. Prior to 1985, there have been severe and unforgivable lapses in the system which demand to be investigated.
The unforgivable lapses included ignoring warnings of an attack against Air India and what many have described as very shoddy police work by both the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the National Police Force, and the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service. In one incident just a few months before the bombings, spies followed two Sikh men into the woods. They heard a very loud bang, but as they later admitted, thought nothing of it. The men had been testing their bomb-making skills. But the worst offense, according to Professor Wesley Wark, an expert on terrorism and security matters at the University of Toronto, was that no one in Canada was prepared to deal with such a crime.
I think they were incompetent in 1985. I think CSIS wasn't ready for this kind of case, and the rules of the road with regard to how CSIS would investigate terrorism cases hadn't really been written at that time.
One of the important lessons learned from this trial, according to Wark, is the enormous difficulty in turning a case based on intelligence reports into a criminal proceeding.
The Crown hoped that, given the relative confidence of the information contained in intelligence dossiers about a conspiracy, that they would be able to translate that into a confident criminal finding.
In the end, the Crown had to rely on those witnesses the judge chose not to believe, at least three of whom had been paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for their testimony. The court heard many times how intelligence methods couldn't be disclosed, which may also have hurt the Crown's case. The RCMP insists the case is still open, but nearly every observer here thinks the case is dead. For NPR News, I'm Richard Reynolds in Toronto.